The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei. At the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, the Torah is speaking about the building and the assembling and the donation of all of the materials for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary. And this is what the Torah has been speaking about in these last few Parshas. And at the beginning of the Parshas of Vayakel, it states, Vayakel Meshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael v'yem aleihem. Meshe gathered all the congregations of the children of Israel together and said, Eila advorim asher tzivu Hashem la'asei sheshom. These are the things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded you to do. Sheish yishomim te'osem alocha v'yem ashvi yelochem kodesh shabbos shabboson la'ashem. For 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day it shall be sanctified, it shall be Shabbos to Hashem, a day of resting. And Meshe begins with the instruction of the Parsha, the subject of Shabbos. And we find this also in last week's Parsha, Kisiso, Lamed Aleph Yud Beis. But after the Torah tells us how to make the various parts of the Mishkan of the sanctuary, again the Torah interrupts and tells us about Shabbos. Vayomer Hashem al Meshe lemor, v'ato daber al bnei Yisrael lemor, and you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, Acha shabseisai tishmeiru, you shall guard my Shabbos, ki eisi beini uveineichem ledei reseichem. Because this is an ace, this is a sign between myself and between you, for all of your generations. V'das ki ani Hashem ekadishchem, to know that I am the Lord your God, who has sanctified you. And then the Torah continues, V'shomru v'nei Yisrael es ha-shabos, that the children of Israel guarded Shabbos, la'aseis es ha-shabos l'dei resam b'ris elom, that it shall be a Shabbos for generations, b'ris elom, a covenant forever. Question is, why does the Torah interrupt the works of the Mishkan with the tzibuim, the commandments of Shabbos? The simple meaning Rashi brings, Higdim lahem azor Shabbos, l'tzivui melechas ha-mishkan. This Rashi says in both places that Moshe had to be certain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to first instruct Israel in the mitzvahs of Shabbos before the melechas ha-mishkan, before the work of the Mishkan, lei meshena deichas ha-shabbos, that we shouldn't think that the works of the Mishkan take precedent over the Shabbos, and we can even build the Mishkan and the parts of the Mishkan, the Kelim, on Shabbos. However, there's another reason, which is explained in the Gemaras. The Gemara brings this in Perek Bameh Tomnim, that's Masech to Shabbos, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, and also in the beginning of Baba Kama, that the works of Shabbos is made up of Lamed Tes Ovis Malochis, 39 basic categories of works. And the Gemara says, how do we know what constitutes a malocha? What constitutes a type of work which is forbidden on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Oveis malochis arboim chosar achas keneged avedis ha-mishkan. We compare the works of Shabbos to the works which were necessary to construct the Mishkan. Those that were necessary to construct the Mishkan, those that were done in the Mishkan, those are the works which constitute the malochas, the works which are forbidden on Shabbos. In the Gemara, in the beginning of Baba Kama, says, Hach dahava b'mishkan hashiva, kori le'av. Those works that were done in the Mishkan, those are considered very important, and this is what is called, this was what constitutes an av malocha, a basic category of work which is forbidden on Shabbos. And the Rashi and Tosfos explain in Masechet Shabbos, how do we know this? We know this because Parshas Shabbos nismucho leParshas Melechas HaMishkan lil meir himanu.
Because the Torah wrote these two parshas right next to each other, in order that we can learn one from the other. So this is a deeper reason into why the Torah placed parshas of Shabbos right in the parshas of the Mishkan, in order that we can learn one from the other what constitutes a malocha on Shabbos, the malochas, the works which were necessary in the Mishkan. So we see from here that there is a link. There is a link between Avodah Shabbos, Melechah Shabbos, the works of Shabbos, and Melechah HaMishkan, the works of the Mishkan. Now we'll go one step further. Actually we find that not only is there a link between the works of Shabbos and the works of the Mishkan, but we find there's also a link between these two and Avedis Kol, the work which man does during the week. Because in the same psukim that we read, that it states that Yema Shvi Shabbos Lashem, on the seventh day Shabbos, Tishbeis, on the seventh day you shall rest. In the same psukim, the same sentences, it states Sheish Shomim Tase Teose Kol Malocha, that for 6 days you shall do all of your work. And therefore, we're referring here to work which was done in the Mishkan, work which was done on Shabbos, a work which is not allowed to be done on Shabbos, and work which is allowed to be done during the week. And we see that they are all classified here. They are all categorized together. They're all together. So if we say that there is a link between the Melechus HaMishkan, the work which was done in the Mishkan, and the Melechus Shabbos, the work which was forbidden on Shabbos, then we must also say that there is a link also with the first two, to the Melechus Kol, the work that one must do during the week. Because it's written here in the same psukim and the same sentences. And this is so. In the Ovest Reb Nosson, Perek Yud Aleph, which is referring to a Mishnah in Masechet Ovos. The Mishnah is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud. Shemaya v'avtalion kiblu mehem. Shemaya omer, Shemaya said, Ehov es hamalocha, that one should learn to love work, Snei asar abonis, and one should detest rabonis. Rabbonus means lordship. It's referring, the commentaries say, it's referring to a asroro, an aristocracy. We don't exactly have that today, but in times of past, and this was especially prevalent amongst the Romans, the Chazal tell us that the Esav, who was the father of the Roman Empire, and his seed were people who loved an aristocracy. They loved being lordship. Actually, Rashi brings in Chumash that Esav was Ish Tzayid, so he brings Ish Bottle. He didn't like work. This you had during the generations. There was the working class, common people, the commons, and there were the lords. And lords were people who had one way or the other amassed great wealth. They didn't have to work. And they had authority over the others. They collected taxes and other duties. And this was what was called the rabbonus. Actually, some lands in Europe still had the system up to the times of the revolutions. In England, you still have. You have today a House of Lords and a House of Commons. There's known what a gentleman. A gentleman is a person who doesn't have to work. And then there's the working class. And the fact is that among some lands, European lands, for example, is England, by nature, workers look down upon. It's despised. So that's not for the aristocracy. That's not for the higher classes. That's something for people who are unfortunate enough where they have to work. But this is what the Chazal, the sages, refer to as Rabonis. So Shemaya said, Erves Amalocho, a Jew, this is not a Jewish concept. See, this concept of lordships, the lords, and the commons, this is not a Jewish concept. It's not a Torah concept. Erves Amalocho, you should teach yourself to love work. Usneas Rabonis, you should despise with a hatred the Rabonis. Now, on this, the Ovis Reb Noson elaborates. And he brings that not only do we find that the 6 days of work are linked with Shabbos, like we said, but they're even linked with Torah. K'shem shahatera nitna bebris. Just like by Torah, Torah was given with a covenant. We have a pasuk that states, "Im lebrisi yemen v'laylo chukas shemayim v'oretz lishamti." If not for my covenant, which was given for day and night, and this refers to Torah, which must be studied by the day and by the night, then I would not have allowed the creation to continue. This is what the Almighty says. So we see that Torah was given not only as a mitzvah, but as a covenant. Kishem sha'atera nitna berbris, just like Torah was given as with a covenant, kacha malocha nitna berbris. Malocha, work, is also given as with a covenant, as it states, sheishish yomim, that for 6 days, ye osa malocha, you shall do malocha, malocha shall be done, v'ye mashvi shabbos shabbosan kedish l'Hashem, the seventh day is sanctified to Hashem. Then it states, "V'shomru b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos briselom," that you shall guard Shabbos, and this is a covenant between b'nei u'b'neichem, between me and you. So we see a covenant was given for Torah, and a covenant was given for Shabbos, and a covenant was given for the 6 days of the 6 working days also. So here we see where we have this link to Shabbos and to Torah. The Ovis Reb Noson also brings the Tarfe Neimer Af HaKodesh Baruch Hu Lehishre Shchinosei Al Yisrael Ad She Osu Malocha. Kodesh Baruch Hu did not bring His Shchina, His presence, to Klal Yisrael until they did work. Shnema, as it states, V'osu Li Migdush V'shochanti B'seichom. Now they bring from the Mishkan. At the beginning of Parshas Truma, Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded Klal Yisrael in the Avedis HaMishkan, all of the works which were necessary for the Mishkan. After they finished it all, then it states, V'shochanti B'seichom. When will I dwell with you? After you finish all of the works of the Mishkan. Now we learn simply that Mishkan, a sanctuary, had to be made, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would dwell. But here Reb Tarfon is telling us more. In order for the Kedusha, for the sanctity of the Shechina to come into Klal Yisrael, it could only be after Klal Yisrael, Yisrael would do malocha, would do work. So through the works which they did for the sanctuary, this brought Shechina, this brought the presence of the Almighty into Klal Yisrael. Now, to give us a little greater insight into this, the Mishnah Novus which we quoted, the Mishnah Novus which we quoted does not say Asay malocha, that you shall do work. Nor does it say bechores hamalocha, you shall choose work. But rather it says ehav es hamalocha, you shall love work. Now, love is a very strong expression. It's not telling us that work is something that we have to do. Work is something we should do. It's telling us more. We should love. The Torah tells us that we must instill in ourselves a great love for work. Well, let us define what work means. What does it mean, amalocha? What does it mean, work? Any physical and mental activity of purpose, which has achievement in it, which has productivity in it. This falls into the classification of work. A person does something mentally and physically, and there's purpose in it. There's achievement, there's productivity. This is classified as work. Now again, it doesn't say we shall do work, nor does it say we shall choose work. It states, Ehov, that we should instill in ourselves a love for work. This is something that is not necessarily so well accepted in the Western culture. From here we see that work is something which in essence is good for the person. The Torah is telling us that we should instill in ourselves a love for work. This means this is something which is very good. It's good for the person. It's not something we do because we have to. It's not something we do because we're forced to. It's not something we do because it's necessary. We must do it because it's good for the person. And it's so good for the person that we must learn to love it. Now, we'll go more into detail. There are many different types of works. One type of work is a work which a person does, letzerich panososei. He does it in order to have panos, in order to have a livelihood. That would be your basic classification of work. This a person has to learn to love and to give great honor to this type of work. Why? Because it's bringing him panos. The Gemara tells us panos is chaim. Panos is life. The Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Tainus states, Shleishim Avteches, there are three keys which HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give away to any angels, but he himself is in charge of them. What are the three keys? So the Gemara says Chaya, birth, Geshem, rains, and Tchias HaMeisim, the reliving of the dead. Those three keys he keeps himself. Doesn't give them away to anyone else, to any angels. Now, the Gemara explains, what does it mean, reins? Reins is panosu. That's man's livelihood. What is the common denominator between these three? They are all life. Birth, the reliving of the dead, and geshem, panosu. This brings life to man. And so does the Gemara tells us, there's a posuk in Kehelis. The posuk in Kehelis, Kehelis Tes, states, Re'ei Chaim Imar Isha Asher Ahavto. Re'ei Chaim Imar Isha Asher Ahavto. You shall see that you have life with the woman that you love. The woman that you have chosen for a wife that you love. So the Gemara darshans, and the Gemara says, Chaim, life that refers to a person's panosa, his umnes, his lihud. Imar isha asher ahavto, with the wife which you love. The Gemara says, that means there are two interpretations in that. Either it refers to a man's wife, or it refers to Torah, to a man's Torah. So the Gemara says, and daf lamed amud beis, the Braisa tells us that a father is obligated to teach his son a livelihood. Where is its source? So the Gemara brings from this posuk, Re'ei Chaim Imar Isha Asher Ahavto. See that he has life together with the woman which he loves. If this is referring to a woman But just like a father is obligated to see that his son is married, so is he obligated, lelamdei umnes, to see that he has a livelihood. If this is referring to Torah, the isha, the woman is referring to Torah, because the Gemara says that a woman always is compared to Torah, then kishem shechayv lamdei Torah, just like one is obligated to teach his son Torah, so is he obligated to instruct him in a livelihood. So besides the fact that we see that a father is instructed to is obligated to instruct a son in a livelihood, we see from here that a livelihood is called chayim. See? Chayim, life, that's called that refers to a livelihood. So this means that panoso must not be looked at lightly. If a person has a business, a little business, or he has a little profession, and from there he gains his sustenance and he is able to sustain his family, then he has to have very great respect, great derech eretz, for that business and for that livelihood and for that profession. Because it brings to him chayim, it brings life to him, and it brings life to his family. And therefore he has to look at it with great honor. So this is one reason why a person has to have great respect and love for work. Because it brings him chayim, it brings him life. Now there's another type of work. The Gemara brings that work brings honor to a person. How? The Gemara in the Dorim tells us. The Gemara in the Dorim and the Mem Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda was a poor man. Evidently, Mordechai doesn't tell us why, but evidently in the Beis HaMedrash, maybe at those times when people would gather together in the Beis HaMedrash, it seems that not everyone had a chair. And some people had to sit on the ground, on the floor. So Rabbi Yehuda karozel lebei midrosho, Rabbi Yehuda, when he would go to the Beis HaMedrash, shokol gulpo al kaspe. He used to carry a barrel on his shoulder. He would carry it to the Beis HaMedrash in order that he would have something to sit on. Omar, and he would say, "Gedole melocho, shemechabedes es baleho." How great is the work of one's hands that it brings honor to a person? Because if I would not carry the barrel to the Beis HaMedrash, I would have to sit on the ground. Sitting on the ground is not very much honor; it's dishonorable. So, therefore, through the work of my hands, it brings honor to myself. It brings honor to the person. Now he was referring that carrying a barrel through the street is, on the other hand, not very honorable. But because of this, it was bringing him much greater honor. Therefore, G'day l'malocha shemechabedes es ba'alecho. Mordechai brings the same by Reb Shimon, shokol tzan al katfei. He would carry another object to the Beis HaMedrash. And he would say the same thing, G'day l'malocha shemechabedes es ba'alecho. How great is work, that it brings honor to a person, to the one who does it. Then the Gemara brings a case, the Visud Rabbi Yehuda. The wife of Rabbi Yehuda, they were very poor. The wife of Rabbi Yehuda, Nafkes, she went out, Naktos Imra. She went and she bought a little wool, Av the Glima, the Hutfe. And she made a very nice jacket. Karnafke Leshuka Michsebe. And she would put on this jacket when she went out into the market. The Karnofik Rabbi Yehuda Litzluye, and when her husband and Rabbi Yehuda would daven, and he didn't have anything nice to wear when he davened, Habemichsi Amatzli, he used to put his jacket on to daven in. Because Michsi Be Habemavorech, and when he would cover himself with his jacket, he would make a brocha takorish borchu, borok shateini mi'il. Blessed is the one who has clothed me, who has given me this mi'il. Now, mi'il is not a jacket. Mi'il is a very elaborate cape. But in his eyes, this was so important that he used to call it a me'il, an elaborate cape. And here, through the work of her hands, it brought kovod la'ba'alecha. It brought honor to her and her husband. So there's another type of work that we do, and that brings honor to a person. If a person makes clothing for himself, right? Or he does something else, this brings kovod to the person. The Maral explains that many times when we work, we might have to be mavaza ourselves somewhat. The work itself might look somewhat disgraceful. We have to roll up our sleeves and get down on the floor or whatever it might be. So a person might feel that this you shouldn't do. This is disgraceful for a person. And this actually was the theory of the Rabbonos. Work is disgraceful. So here the sages are teaching us, and the Rabbi Huda was teaching us. Work is not disgraceful, just the opposite. Work brings great cover to the person. The lack of work is disgraceful. Because if you won't work, then you won't have decent clothing to wear. You see people who don't want to work, and they go around like tramps. They don't have decent clothing to wear. So the lack of work despises a person. Many times a person won't work, and he'll be nitzroch el abrius. He'll have to go and come on to other people. So by honoring himself, by not working, he brings himself to despise in the end. So therefore, the Gemara is teaching us, you shouldn't think that work is dishonorable to a person, because he might have to buy himself some when working, because through this bizein cotton, through even though it might be somewhat of a despise to him, that it brings great honor to him. And to the contrary, the lack of work will bring great despise to him. And that's why the Gemara tells us, "Pshayt nevela b'shuk, v'altitztarech l'brius." If a person has no money, and someone wants to give him a job where he has to be pshayt nevela b'shuk, where he has to take skin an animal in the marketplace, and that's something that nobody would like to do, he should rather do that, v'altitztarech l'brius. He would rather do that than then come on to people. Because in a case where he'll have to come on to people, that's even a greater despise. This is even more despising. Therefore, G'day l'malocho shemechabedes es ba'alecho. That malocho, a person has to have great respect for and great love for, because besides bringing him chayim, it brings him sustenance, it brings him life, it brings him honor. This is what the Gemara is teaching us there. So this is a second level. Then there's another level of work, another achievement in it. Melocho, work, is matzalo de min aveiro. It saves a person from aveiro, and it brings him to mitzvahs. It even brings him to the fulfillment of Shabbos and Torah. And obviously Reb Noson states as follows. Reb Kiva says, "Itim shodemeisa malocha." Sometimes a person will do malocha, umisnatzel min amiso, and he'll be saved from death. Itim sheinor meisa malocha mischay miso l'shamayim. Other times he won't do work, and he'll come out. He'll be guilty. He'll be guilty of capital punishment to heaven. For example, so he brings a case. Ketzad. Yoshev Odom Kol HaShavua. A man sat during the week, and he didn't do any work. He was idle. Erev Shabbos ain't lo mayechel. Come Shabbos, he doesn't have what to eat. Hoye leimo shel hegdish b'seich beisai. He had some money in his house, which belonged to the Beis Hamikdash. Belonged to the sanctuary. Notel mehem, he had no other money. He had to buy something for Shabbos. So he went and he used it for himself. He went and used it for himself. And this is a great avera, to take money that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash and use it for yourself is a great avera. So because of his idleness during the week, he came to be guilty of the death penalty to heaven. But what happens if he was a worker? And he went and hired himself to the Beis Hamikdash to do work. Even though if they gave him this money as his wage, and he used it, now there's no Aveda. See, here we have a case of a person who was idle, and because of that, he ended up being guilty of the death penalty to heaven. And another person who worked, and he was mishnatzel, and he was saved from this Aveda. But we see something else here. We see that if you take money that belongs to Hegdish, and money that belongs to Hegdish is Kodesh, is sanctified. Because it's sanctified, we are not allowed to use it for personal use. If we do, it's a very serious Aveda. But if we do work for the Beis Hamikdash and they pay us this money in wage, then that gives us permission to use this money. So we see here that malocha, the work, can be matir, can be a permit to use for yourself even Moshel Hegdish, even money that belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. This is the level of malocha, the level of work. Then they bring another case. Reb Dostoy Eimer, Nine Shim Leasa Malocha Kol Shisha. He says a person who doesn't work all 6 days, then he's going to be forced to work on Shabbos. Hareishi Yoshev Kol Yemeisa Shabbos Veleasa Malocha. For 6 days he didn't do any work. Erev Shabbos came, he didn't have what to eat. He was desperate. So he started to look around and he was tempted to steal something. And he got into connection with the thieves, the Tafsuhu. And the whole gang was captured by the government. The Ochus, they say, Bekela. And they put him in the dungeon, but also by Malocha b'Shabbos, and they made him do work on Shabbos. Kol zeh shelo yaseh kol shisha. It was caused why? Because he didn't work on the 6 days. So here, someone who works on the 6 days, it can bring him to Shmirah Shabbos. It brings him to keeping the Shabbos on Shabbos. Someone who's idle during the 6 days, it'll bring him to the Aveira of Chilul Shabbos, of desecration of Shabbos. The same the Gemara brings in the Masechta Kiddushin that we quoted, that it's the Gemara says, Gemara brings from Rabbi Huda, Eimer kol sheina malamedes b'nei umdis ki ila malamde listias. Whoever does not teach his son a livelihood, then it's as if he's teaching him to be a gangster. Because if he doesn't have a livelihood, how to live, so then he's going to be forced to steal, to lie, to cheat. So it's as if he's teaching him to be a gangster. So this is a third level now, where work brings a person to Torah, it brings a person to mitzvahs. Besides the, we see it's obvious that if he works, he makes money. If he makes money, he can buy mitzvahs with it. He can buy a lulav, he can buy an esrog, he can buy svarim. He can do mitzvahs, stoker. And the lack of work will bring a person to chil Shabbos, to desecration of Shabbos, and to averus. And the most serious averus. So this is another reason why Eiv Samalocha, that a person has to train himself to have a love, to a recognition, a cognizance of what malocha is, and have a great love for it. Now there's another. Now there is a
an additional level of malacha, besides of what we spoke about. And that is, till now, we were speaking of types of work which are of necessity. He works because he has to have something to eat. He works because he has to clothe himself, give honor to himself. Work of necessity. But the truth is, we find that even where there is no necessity, work is a great bracha that was given to man. For example, what would happen if someone is a very wealthy person? He has everything. He doesn't have to work. Still, work, he should learn to love work. He should still learn to love work, and that it's a great bracha to him. The others that Rabbi Nosson brings, Rabbi Shimon bar Blaza Eimer. Rabbi Shimon bar Blaza says, Af oda marishain leitoam klum atcha osa malocha. Oda marishain, first man, was not given anything to eat until first he did malocha. How do we know this? So in the Chumash it states, in Bereshis Beis, Pasuk Tes Vov, it states, Vayikach Hashem Elokim es Odom. Hashem took Odom by an Echehu began Eden, and he placed him in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden, Lo'ovdo Olshomro. He was placed in Gan Eden to work in the garden and to guard the garden. Then it states, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Odom Lemo Mikol Eitz Hagon Ochel Techel. Then immediately afterwards it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded man that he can eat from all of the trees of the garden. First he placed him in the garden to work and to guard the garden, and then he commanded him that he may eat from the garden. So from here we learn, she'af odam arishon, even the first man, le'toam klum, he was not given anything to eat, at she'osa malocha, until he did malocha. Because this was necessary for a man. Now there was no necessity for odam arishon. This was before Adam sinned, and his parnosa came through the garden Mishamayim by itself. So there was no necessity for him to work for Chaim, for sustenance. There was no necessity for him to work for clothing. There was no necessity. And still HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him first to work. What do we see from this? We see that work, even when it's not a necessity for men. Even if a man is a wealthy man and he has everything, work is a great blocker for the person and is a need for him. Then the Reptarfen Eimer. Reptarfen says, Afa Korish Borchu Leihishre Shchinose Al Yisrael Atchosim Alocha. This is what we learn from our Sedrus, like we mentioned before. Tarfon says we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not bring his Shekhinah to Israel until Klal Yisrael did work first as a nation. As it states, V'osu li migdush, he gave him all of the works of the Mishkan, and these were the works of Shabbos and the works of the Chol. Make the Mishkan, and then V'shachanti b'seichem, then I will dwell. Now this work was not necessary for man. This was not Letzeirich Adam. They didn't make the Mishkan for themselves. They didn't get Parnosa from it, and they didn't get Kovet from it. This was work for Hashem. And still HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not bring his Shekhinah into Klal Yisrael until they worked. So we see that Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leihishre Shekhinose B'Yisrael Ad She'ose Malocha. And because of this, we learn, the Ovis Reb Nosson tells us, as follows. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gilyamer, Mishain le malocha lasis. If there's an individual who has no work to do, right? He's retired, or he's wealthy, so he has no work that's necessary. My asa, what should he do? Im yesh lechotzer harovo, or soda harovo, if he has a chotzer courtyard that is chorov, it's all damaged and ruined, or if he has a field that's overgrown and damaged, yelech v'sasigbo, he should go and fix it. Even if he doesn't need it, there's no need, he has plenty of money, he should go and fix it. He should go do something productive. He should not sit idle. Because Shnemar, it states, Sheshish Yomim, Tava, it was Sisa Kol Malachtecho. For 6 days you shall work and do all of your work. Matam Aleima was Sisa Kol Malachtecho. What does it mean that you shall do all of your work? It comes to include even where he doesn't need the work. He should look for work to be done, something of purpose, something of achievement, of productivity, and he should do it. And this is, he learns from the Pasuk, Vasisa kol malachtecho, that you should do all of your work. And then the Gemara tells us further. It tells us, from here we see that work is a tremendous blessing that was given to man because of its byproducts, what it brings to man, and because of it itself, even where it brings no tangible byproducts to man. But it itself is a tremendous blessing. And therefore, we should be cognizant of what it is and instill in ourselves a great love. Now, because of this, now we understand what the Mishnah tells us further, Usneas Rabbonus, that you shall despise the Rabbonus. Now this, again, this was the social level that looked down on work. And they held that was very good for a person not to work and to be idle. Now this, the Chazal tell us just the opposite. The officer of Nosson continues and states, Reb Tarfin Aymer, Ein Odom Meis, Elamitecha Batola. Batola, idleness. This brings death to a person. And he brings a pasuk, Vayigva, Vayesef, El Amov, he brings a drosh on this. Just like work is a tremendous brocha to the person, idleness is a tremendous curse to the person. And it'll bring a death blow to a person. Then the Gemara brings another case that people that are idle and they walk around and they do nothing, so it brings cases of where this can destroy them. The Gemara M'shachim and Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Usneas Rabbonus, despise the Rabbonus, Shemekaveres Es Bailo, because the Rabbonus bury a person. It shortens his days. We think, this is Western culture, work kills a man. And idleness, not work, that lengthens a man's days. Torah tells us just the opposite. Rabbonus mikaveres es baalo. Baaleho. The work, the idleness, to belong to the aristocratic set, that were the sets of the lords and the gentlemen that didn't work, that shortens the man's days. And the Gemara brings in Satan, you give him a days, the Gemara says, Amar b'yechanan, Lama meish Yosef kaidem echov. We find that Yosef died before all of his other brothers. Yosef was the first of the brothers to die. He had the best life. He was a king. He had everything that this world could offer. Why did he die before? So the Gemara says, "Mipnei hindi gatzman berabonus," because he became part of the rabbonus. He became part of the aristocracy. He became part of the lordship. Well, it wasn't necessary for him to work. He lived a luxurious life. He lived an idle life. Na cholila, we shouldn't say, and we shouldn't think Yosef, and even that Yosef had tzaddik,
was equated with any of this, but evidently it affected him somewhat. So I'll say, it did affect him to a degree. And it affected him to a degree where the other brothers, who were still from the working class, they had length of years, more than Yosef. This is what the Gemara tells us. Loma meish Yosef, kodim echov, why did Yosef die before his brothers? Mimnei shehinig atzmon berabonus. Because he became part of berabonus. There's a Mishnah in the Masechta Ksubos. The Mishnah tells us the Mishnah, well, before we come to this Mishnah, the Avestar of Nosson says this includes everyone. There's no exception. For example, it says Shaminu la Noshim. I know that this is the work is necessary for men. Noshim inayin, what about women? Is work also necessary for them? This type of work. So on this the Avestar of Nosson brings from our parsha, Ish vi isha al yasu or maloch letrumas hakedish. That they brought so much that Mesha had to tell them, stop bringing for the Mishkan. So it states, Ish vi isha. Both man and woman are doing enough for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary. We don't need anything else. Everything is already made and brought, so he had to tell them to stop. So it states, Ish vi isha. So from here we learn that just like work is necessary for a man, it's necessary for a woman. Then it says, Litfalim inayin. What about children? Is it necessary for children also? It states that when Moshe told the people, and I said, well, when Moshe told the people to stop bringing, it says, and the nation stopped to bring. It doesn't say the men, it does not say the women. It says the nation, the entire nation, including the children. The children also were involved in Melechus HaMishkan, in the work for the sanctuary. And then he had to tell them also to stop. And therefore we see that all of this applies to the children also. Now there's a Mishnah Masechta Ksubos. Ksubos Daf Nun Tesamet Beis. It states that a man gets married to a woman, so he has obligations to her and she has obligations to him. So it starts to list off the various, this Mishnah refers to the various obligations which the woman has to the man. Such as she has to bake for him, she has to wash for him, she has to cook, so forth and so on. Sew, weave, and so on. Then it states, what happens if she enters into the marriage with a maidservant? So then, she's not obligated in some of these works because it will become the obligation of a maidservant. If she comes with one maidservant, so this frees her of a few obligations. Shtayim, if she comes with two maidservants, then this frees her from more. Shleish, if she comes with three maidservants, this frees her from even more. What happens if she comes with four? So then the Mishnah says, Yeshevis Bikatatro, she can sit in a rocking chair all day and do nothing. Reb Leze says no. Afilich nisale meyash fochis. Even if she comes with 100 maidservants, she is obligated to always keep doing some work. Why? Shahabatolo mevi l'dei zima. And Shahabatolo maybe l'dei shamum. Because idleness brings to Aveira, and idleness brings to melancholy. If a person wants a good spiritual life, then even if they come with 100 maidservants, but they always must continue to do some work. If a person wants a healthy mental life, then even 100 servants, but they still must continue to do some work, because it's mevi l'dei zima, mevi l'dei shamum. Idleness will bring to aveira, and idleness will bring to depression. So here we have what Shemaya is telling us. Erves hamalocha doesn't say do work, because you have to do work.
But he doesn't say, Ase melocha bechor, choose to do work. But he says, more, ehoiv esa melocha. You must love, you must instill in yourself the desire to love work. Because a person must recognize what it does for the human being. Ushneas rabonis. And keep far away from the aristocratic class of the gentlemen. See, of those who were not the commons, who were not the working class. Who looked down on work. Because the emes, the truth is just to the contrary. The Maral brings is because of this, the Gemara says in Brochas and Alches. This is a Gemara we've spoken at length about before. Godel hanene migias kato. Yesem Yerushamayim. He who draws pleasure and simcha from the fruits of his own hands, he has a greater portion than the Yorei Shamayim, than the one who fears Hashem. Because by the Yorei Shamayim, it states just, but he it says, Ashrech of a Tevlach. The Yorei Shamayim doesn't have both worlds. He has both worlds. Ashrech of a Tevlach. Ashrech of Ba'ilam Azeh. He'll be happy in this world. And Tevlach Ba'ilam Abo. And he'll be fortunate in the next world. So he explains why. We see that work brings happiness to a person. It states that Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't bring a Shekhinah until Klal Yisrael did work. The Gemara tells us that Eina Shechina Shruya Lemitek Simcha. Shechina only is where there's Simcha. Right? Work brings happiness to a person. Like we see the contrast that it states Habatola, idleness is maybe Shamum. Idleness brings depression to the person. Because the human being needs an activity. But not like people think, just activity. Skalk, play is also activity. He needs purpose. He needs an activity with purpose. He needs an activity that's purposeful and achieves. A human being thrives on achievement. If you take a child, you see the simcha, the happiness on his face when he's achieved something. When he can be productive. And this brings great simcha to a person. And if a person is happy with Yigiyas Kapecho, if he works and he's never happy with it though, he works and he doesn't like the work and he doesn't feel he makes enough and he's not happy with what he produced and he wants more all the time and so forth. No, that's a person that's not going to be Tevloch, Ashrecha v'Tevloch. It's not a person that'll be happy. It says, Godel Hanena, someone who enjoys his work and he enjoys his produce, he enjoys what he produced. So the Maral says this is very close to Olam Haba. This is close to the world to come, which encompasses this world also. Why? He says, what is the world to come? What is so great about the world to come? The Gemara says, the world to come will be tzadikim yeshvim v'ne'anim miziv hashchina. The whole world to come is for simcha and enjoyment. We will enjoy and be misameach with the greatness and the radiance of the Almighty. So the world to come is a situation of ultimate hano, ultimate enjoyment and simcha. If a person cannot find enjoyment and simcha, and he cannot find sipuk, satisfaction in this world, he won't find it in the next world either so easily. This was a story once with the Gaon. It was a story once, they say over that there was a merchant who was traveling. He had a big business, but he worked day and night, and day and night, always on the road and traveling and whatnot. And one day he comes to an inn one evening, and he's all vermattered and tired. And he checks into his room, and he hears through the wall, he hears someone sitting and learning, and the voice and the Gemara that he was learning and the words just was out of this world. And he stood like hypnotized listening. Finally he went to the innkeeper and he asked, who is this man? So he told him, that's the great Rebbe Eliyahu Mivilna. So he went and he knocked on the door. told him to come in, and he said, excuse me, but Rebbe, I want to ask you a question, a shaila. She said, what do you want to ask? He says, teach me also how to be kena, how to acquire Eilam Haba. He says, I see from the way you're sitting and learning with such a simcha and enjoyment and such elation that you are a ben Eilam Haba, you certainly will have the world to come, teach me also. So the Gaon asked him, he says, you're asking for the next world, so it must be that this world you already have. So you must be very happy on this world, because you're not asking for this world, you're asking for the next world. He says, no. He says, I'm miserable in this world. He says, my life is no life. I never see my family. I never see my children. I'm always running and traveling. So the Gaon asks me, he says, even if this world you can't acquire, so how do you expect to acquire the next world? This is the world that's in front of us. This is the world we live in and we can win touch of. If you can't acquire this world, how do you expect to acquire the next world? That's Godel Hanene that Chazal is teaching us, that we must learn to be happy with what we have in this world. And then we'll have the next world. If we're never satisfied with what we do or what we have in this world, then we can't have the next world. She says the whole next world is enjoyment. She says the righteous sit and they have great enjoyment and stuff from the radiance of Hashem. So if someone can have satisfaction and simcha from the little radiance which Hashem gives through to this world, then for sure then he's a ben Olam Haba. He has acquired the next world. And that comes from Ehov Es HaMalocha. This is what the Chazal teaches. This, tragically, is just contrary to Western culture. Now, we don't have the aristocracy we had a while back by the Menei Esav, but it's in various forms, it's still here. Western culture has done nothing in the past century except place emphasis on work-saving machines and work-saving methods. The whole thrust is how to save work, how to make it easier for man and to save work. Work, we are taught, is something that is absolutely necessary, and it's a drudgery, and therefore we have to do it. But the minute you can become free of it, so you shouldn't do it. And therefore, we try every possible way to shorten our work. And what do we do with all of our spare time? That's a different question, you know. There's nothing wrong with shortening work so we could do better things in our spare time. Do more mitzvahs and learn more Torah. What do we do in our spare time? You take, the fact is, the entertainments and so-called luxuries of the West is just the opposite of a physical and mental activity that was designed for purpose and achievement and productivity. We can sit by a television set or by a movie for hours after hours after hours, merely as a participant, merely as a spectator. Not to participate in life, but to watch life go by us. We don't participate in life, we watch someone else's life with no purpose, no achievement, and it's enjoyment, but we don't realize it's mikaveres es ba'alecha. It buries a person, because the human being thrives on achievement. Because of this, everyone tries to retire earlier. So you have people who are young and healthy and they retire. And they retire and heaven forbid they get sick. They become depressed and get sick. And it's downhill. And in our youth, heaven forbid that we should overburden our youth with work. So we take this great bracha, the Ovis the Bronson said, to failing me nine, how do we know even children is a bracha for? A child naturally loves work. If you let a child on his own, you'll see all day he is working. He is working. He's training himself. He's training himself. He's studying. He's training how to use his fingers and how to use his hands and how to use his arms. And how he doesn't stop. He never sits idle. He's always watching, he's looking, he's listening. He never learns idleness until we teach it to him. Because he thrives. He thrives on achievement and productivity. And then the West gets a hold of him. Used to be a young boy, carried responsibilities. Now we get a hold of him, we put him in a vacuum for 25 years, which we call a school system. And we lock him away from any possibility of responsibilities of work. So he's either locked up in a classroom where he has very little opportunity to actually carry or actually do work for achievement, either that or he's spending 3-4 months a year holiday. And then when he's finished with it all in the affluent society, he tells you, look, I'd like to take off a year to travel. One father told me that he doesn't give himself, allow himself to take one day off from work. He can't satisfy his conscience to take one day off. Yet his son is traveling through Europe and Israel and other places. Why not? See? Like one said, he has a rich father, he can do it, but I don't have a rich father, I can't do it. That's what one father told me. And we don't realize that we are destroying them, totally destroying them. So therefore, this is what the Chazal tell us, and a person has to recognize this. Recognize the great brachos of Erves HaMelacha Usneis HaRabonos. And not only is the Melechus Shabbos linked to the Melechus HaMishkon, but the Melechus HaChol, the Sheish Yomim Tase Kol Melachtecho, the 6 days you shall do all of your work, that also is linked, like we brought, to the works of the Mishkon and to the works which one is forbidden on Shabbos. We should be zeicher to be from those who are godel hanene miyegia katecho, those who learn to enjoy the works of our hands.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.